Oh, holy schnitzel hits the fitzel. Guys, I'm only at 70% today, but I am glad to be back. Holy shit. What the hell is going on in this world? Before we talk about Iran about to strike Israel's nuclear power plant in response to Israel's attack, which most pundits are saying is coming in 48 hours. I don't know if I believe that. Either way, there's a 75% chance it's going to happen before the election. Before we talk about that, let's just appreciate something for a second. Let's appreciate this, okay? I mean, I don't want to say I told you so, but we fucking told you so. $2,756. We were just in here 9 months ago, talking about a new record gold price at $2,100 an ounce. And here we are. Like, how did this, it's just been one long day this year. It's one long day until day X, baby. And holy shit, this is bad news. If you hold gold, you're looking at your bank account going up. But I'm telling you, this reflects currency debasement. This affects global disorder, the bifurcation into two world power blocks that we're seeing today. I mean, we're talking about gold bars at Costco can't be held in stock, okay? $2,800 an ounce, 50% more than it was a year ago. 50%! I know we've been desensitized to this number, but guys, this is crazy. We're here. This is the melt-up. This is the collapse. It's not going to be like the movies where it's all in like an hour and a half, right? Before you can finish your popcorn. But it's happening fast. Holy shit, is it happening fast. Look, back in 2021, the Iranians, they simulated an attack on a life-size, full-scale carbon copy of the Dimona nuclear power plant in Israel. They built one in the desert to scale, and they proceeded to completely annihilate it with pinpoint precision using ballistic missiles launched from hundreds of miles away. Now, why am I showing you this now? The reason why I'm showing you this now is because it is very likely that before the election, I would give it a 75% chance that Israel is going to launch the mother of all attacks on Iran, which is going to start the biggest war, likely since the Vietnam War, but it'll probably be much worse than the Vietnam War. Now, there's a very good chance, according to numerous Israeli media, pundits, retired generals, that it's actually going to happen in the next 48 hours. Now, they've been saying it's going to happen in the next 48 hours. They've been saying that the plan has been approved. It's been approved by the United States. Biden knows what the plan is. Disregard all the nonsense about the leaks. That's all just political fluff. And to add to the body of work to create this persona of the United States that they're not the ones actually controlling this whole thing. Anthony Blinken goes to Israel today to do his obligatory begging of Netanyahu to please don't use all the weapons and the intelligence and probably a lot of the pilots and the missile defense that we've provided you to start a major war in the Middle East that, of course, all of our crony buddies are going to profit from, knowing full well that they have to distance themselves because the Iranians have went to the UN and said, hey, look, Joe Biden just admitted here on camera, okay, Biden admitted that he knows what the plan is. So if he knows what the plan is and he knows when it's going to happen, then that requires a degree of complicity with the US and the Israelis. So the Iranians are saying, hey, this means that we have casus belli to go to war with the United States. So Blinken goes there today and says, please, can you please tamp down the response, Netanyahu, to this, your casus belli to go to war with Iran because they shot 200 missiles at you a few months ago. knowing full well that it's basically all just theater, because, of course, Netanyahu, at the end of the day, is going to be the one that makes the decisions, because he apparently is the one who everybody bows down and kisses his ass. Now, the reason why they're going to do it in the next 48 hours, I think, and I could be wrong about this, they could just be playing the game of trying to create readiness fatigue in the Iranians. Right now, you have this happening, the BRICS summit. We currently have the world splitting into two power blocks. You have the Eastern power block currently consolidating under this BRICS alliance. And then, of course, you have the NATO, Israeli, Five Eyes, and Russia, and the Americans and all their vassal state alliance against the East. And so you basically have the 7 billion and the golden billion, as they refer to us. Now, a great way to disrupt this inevitable bifurcation of the world into these two power blocks and the strengthening of the BRICS would be to start a massive war in the Middle East during what is the most important BRICS summit to date. Okay, this is currently happening inside Russia. You have the Iranian president, Prezeskian, currently inside Russia for this summit, meeting with all of these leaders of these participant countries. And this would be a great time to create a massive disruption, because, of course, this is part of the reason why we are witnessing this, why we're seeing gold skyrocket in price in the last few months, because, of course, all of these countries are buying gold. They're all stockpiling gold because they know the decoupling from the U.S. dollar is inevitable. So we're seeing a floundering of the U.S. currency, and we're seeing a flourishing of these new relationships, okay, despite all the tough talk about Russia being strategically defeated. Here they are playing host to some of the most powerful countries in the world that are not in NATO and actually still have real industry and real resource-based economies, unlike the banking service-based economies, particularly in Europe. United States is far more resilient in that respect. They have resources, they have industry, and they also have a service economy. But of course, many European countries are completely screwed when it comes to what's this multipolar world. So in an attempt to interdict this burgeoning relationship in the classic Thucydides trap style, we have to somehow interfere with this process. What better way to do it when everybody is sipping tea and eating crumpets at the BRICS in Kazan in Russia? And that is when you do it. Okay, in the same way that Israel targeted Nasrallah when they were at the UN General Assembly and they thought they would never do such a thing, that is when Israel is going to do these things. Okay, they are ruthless. They will blindside and they'll seize upon an opportunity when they think that people have their guards down. Now, it could be in the 4D game of chess that they think, well, actually, Iran has its guard very up, because, of course, they expect that Israel is going to do something during the BRICS summit. So it could be immediately afterwards, but they have to do it before the election. And here's the reason why. They have to do it before the election because they can't risk having any sort of political disruption that might shake up the current arrangement that exists that is permitting Netanyahu to do a response in the first place. You don't have Anthony Blinken saying, don't do a response in Iran. You've won. You've decapitated Hezbollah. Keep attacking their proxies. They're saying, tone down the response, meaning that they know that an attack against Iran is coming. Iran has said any attack is going to elicit a counterattack, which, of course, will only exacerbate the problem and escalate the situation. So they have to do something before the election. I would say 75% chance, maybe 25% chance something is going to happen in the next couple days. And that is from Israeli media. Now, they're trying to induce readiness fatigue in the Iranians. So they're probably just saying that because, you know, they want the Iranians constantly on edge, in the same way that the Iranians were continuously threatening the Israelis after they, they killed the leader of Hamas during the inauguration of the Iranian president. So, you know, every day Iran was saying, yeah, we got a plan and we're going to do it. We're going to do it today. And then all of a sudden, one morning I wake up, my phone's blowing up and they're finally doing it. Israel, I think, is going to be a far more Machiavellian in that they're going to wait until everybody's guards down. They're going to try to find a time to do it where it looks as though there's a prospect for peace. So I actually think in the next 48 hours, because Blinken just went there, okay? So Blinken gave his obligatory message to try to communicate this persona of non-culpability with the plan. And then, of course, you have this talk of a rumored ceasefire in Gaza. If there is a ceasefire agreed to in Gaza, that's probably when they're going to attack Iran, okay? Because that's when, during some even regional detente, that's when you would want to do it, because maybe that's when Iran is thinking, okay, maybe there's some window for diplomacy here. But I'm quite certain that after the assassinations that we've seen that have completely blindsided people, nobody's trusting Israel ever again. Now, in respect to that, we have an Iranian document that was leaked, okay? And this document specifies that the Iranian Interior Ministry reveals a full security alert across the country, warning government and non-governmental departments to prepare for a possible Israeli attack. It emphasizes cooperation with intelligence and military circles to implement preventative measures and calls on all departments to stay alert and ready to respond to directives in case of an attack, okay? So they understand that if Israel does attack, it has to be big, because Israel cannot risk an Iranian counterattack. Now, here is the reason why this war is inevitable. And it's because of the fact that all of Iran's proxies are currently being systematically snubbed out by Israel. You have Hamas, who's been diminished greatly. You have Hezbollah, who's been essentially decapitated, although they're still putting up a very good fight. You have the Houthis, which have continuously been bombarded, although they are still very much alive and well. Nonetheless, as you systematically destroy all of Iran's proxies, you run the risk of strategically defeating them and thus surrounding them. So Iran then, in order to compensate, will proceed with building a nuclear weapon. Or at least this is the thinking. So if you defeat Iran's proxies, it's inevitable that Iran gets a nuclear weapon. And if Iran gets a nuclear weapon, that's something deemed unacceptable to the Israelis and the Americans because of the rules-based order or some bullshit we just made up. And that means that, of course, we're going to essentially declare war. And it's all the legalese is all there. All the groundwork has been laid for this in the United States and Israel to go to war with Iran if they acquire nuclear weapons. So if you know that this is inevitable, then chances are that you're going to go for a death blow and you're going to do it rather soon. And now that the United States can claim deniability, they can claim, well, hey, we sent Blinken there. We said, don't do this, right? We said, don't do it. We didn't support a bigger attack. There was leaked documents that claimed to show an attack, and it was an insider who leaked it and all this stuff. And of course, this was geospatial intelligence. So the leak is not what it's being made out to be, in that it gave any specifics with respect to any plan. Nonetheless, the United States can absolve themselves of responsibility and say, hey, that was all on Israel, but because we're their ally, I guess that means we're going to war. We're going to throw whatever trillions of dollars of money we can print in the next few years before the whole system collapses into that final conflict. So the Iranians are on the highest state of alert right now. As I indicated, Biden has admitted that he knows the plan and that there is a plan to attack, which is insane, because you would think that somebody in the White House would say, hey, you won, right? But they know that this war culminates into a war with Hezbollah and, or sorry, with Iran and Israel regardless. This is a THAAD system being deployed in and around Israel. There is another THAAD system that has been approved It is no longer just hearsay. It is in fact confirmed. They're going to be sending another THAAD battery. So that's going to be a total of, I believe it's going to be 12 launchers with a total of 100 THAAD interceptors. And I presume that they're going to send a lot of extra interceptors because, of course, they're expecting a massive response. So they're getting all this stuff into place before they launch this major attack so that they can intercept a lot of these missiles. But again, Iran was holding back. So we've seen them fire 200 missiles. What if they fire 400 missiles? And what if these missiles actually have more substantial warheads than the rinky-dink stuff that we've seen the first time? Okay. Now, in terms of what's happening in Lebanon, contrary to what we're hearing, the Hezbollah fighters are handing the Israelis their ass when it comes to this invasion. And a lot of these guys are just paramilitary. They're not even the Radwan Hezbollah fighters. Okay. So the actual Hezbollah fighters, the trained fighters, haven't even really entered the combat yet. I believe that they're trying to lure the Israelis in deeper into these regions so that they can really start to fight asymmetrically against them. Already destroyed 28 Merkava tanks. And of course, Israel's never going to be completely transparent about the numbers. They're one of the most closed circuit when it comes to the disclosure of their casualties, because of course, just like Ukraine, they want to completely control the narrative. Okay. Now, everywhere is just going completely insane. While this BRICS summit is underway, they're doing live fire exercises in the Taiwan Strait. You have Kim Jong-un inspecting nuclear weapons, okay? And by the looks of these pictures, I mean, I can't believe how advanced North Korea actually is. These are hypersonic missiles, cruise missiles, okay? These are hypersonic glide vehicles, I believe, possibly ICBM or... Excuse me, I'm losing my voice still. I'm only 70% today, guys, but we're back. We are so back. And bunkers, of which North Korea has extensive bunkers, they're getting all this stuff from the Russians and the Chinese, okay? So make no mistake, they are 110% getting prepared for World War III. And now there are 2,600 North Korean troops headed to the front lines inside Russia. The head of Ukrainian intelligence, Budanov, claims that the first troops from North Korea will arrive in the Kursk region tomorrow. According to him, a total of 2,600. And this is really, when you think about it, a good place to put the troops because they're technically not in the annexed territories of Ukraine. So they're technically only on Russian territory. So while you might make the argument that they're fighting in the war, they are essentially just doing some housekeeping for the Russians, but in what capacity they're going to participate, nobody knows. Are they just going to be engineers, digging trenches, building stuff, you know, providing logistical support? It's hard to know. Nonetheless, there's mission creep by the North Koreans into this conflict, and this indeed is a full-fledged strategic partnership. Now North Korea is under the Russian nuclear umbrella. If NATO goes to war with North Korea, they have to deal with Russia's nuclear weapons. Okay, so this is big. This is massive news. We were not here a year ago, okay? And we certainly weren't even thinking about this 2 years ago. I mean, we thought about it ostensibly, but we never, you know, had any sort of material, a basis or evidence to support this. Now we literally have North Korean troops fighting in Europe against Ukraine and NATO forces. It's a world war, if I ever heard of one. Now, China released this video the other day, which quite frankly gave me chills when I watched this. I always told people, look, when China converts, what do they say, convert your plowshares into swords? When China converts its plowshares into swords, it is going to be something the world has never seen. We're talking about an industrial Goliath converting its massive manufacturing capability, and instead of producing electronics for Walmart, they start producing cruise missiles. There's rumors that they can produce up to 1,000 cruise missiles a day. I don't know if that's true, but honestly, I don't see a reason why it wouldn't be true. If they wanted to produce 1,000 cruise missiles a day, they absolutely could. It's just a matter of if they have the material and the components. They certainly have the labor and they have the facilities, but get a load of this. This is unreal, okay? This is, just want to make sure my audio is good there. This is a speech that Xi Jinping gave the other day. Where's our volume here? Well, let me see. I got some other sounds are interfering here. It sounds like a... What the hell is that? Oh, here it is. Oh, it's this. Okay. All right, so let's take a look at this. The Air Force and Navy, nuclear forces, strategic forces.
You guys read that?
Unswervingly place the military at a strategic position and effectively implement military training as its central task. Look at the size. I mean, just to see them all in one place is insane. And of course, this is not all taking place in one place, but this is being coordinated in various different places. And this is something you'd see. You don't even see this in movies. I mean, this is insane. Anyways, we seem to think that we can defend Taiwan from that. Okay. If we think so. I think we have another thing coming, though. I would not recommend that. Russia is currently laying it to Ukraine's shadow fleet of ships. Most people don't realize this, but they've destroyed 22 ships of Ukraine's shadow fleet in the Black Sea. And of course, Ukraine continues to hit Russia hard inside Russia at various air bases and their oil and gas infrastructure as well. You don't really hear much about it anymore, but it indeed is happening. Here's some video that I probably would have shown you days ago. A lot of this footage I could have showed you days ago, but I was out of service, unfortunately. This is North Koreans allegedly getting their equipment inside Russia, okay? Now, it's important to know that the Russians initially denied this, but the Russians deny a lot. And there's a lot of people who, unfortunately, believe everything the Russians say in a knee-jerk reaction response to the West lying to us all the time. We think that we should believe everything that the other side says, but you shouldn't, because the Russians lie just as much as we do. So it's important to keep that in mind. And there's plenty of examples of that happening throughout this conflict where they said, nah, that's complete nonsense. It's Western lies. And, you know, a month later, of course, it turns out that's what happens. China indeed is going to proceed with a blockade of Taiwan when the time is ripe. And we can be certain at this point in time that there is some high-level coordination between this quadriga of allies, Russia, China, North Korea, Iran, in order to coordinate strategically their attacks on these various places of Western interest, be they Taiwan, Ukraine, Israel, and of course South Korea. Things are getting real, guys. This is Donald Trump talking about a leak that happened recently. that I think is being widely overblown, but let's hear what he has to say.
And today, you probably heard, now the press isn't covering it very much, which is just incredible. Possibly our Defense Department or somebody, anyway, it was leaked, the entire military plan of Israel. The military plan.
No, it wasn't.
The plans they have at the highest level, it was leaked. Highly confidential information.
Technically, it was not. This is geospatial intel. This is basically pictures and satellite data. And from that, they can infer what Israel's plan might be. Now, they were able to infer that Israel did, in fact, move some of its nuclear weapons, dispersed its nuclear weapons, which, of course, is out of line with the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty that says that Israel's not supposed to have nuclear weapons, but because, of course, they can do whatever they want and act with impunity and don't have to obey the rules-based order that was, in fact, made in response to things that happened in World War II, largely for them, they don't have to abide by any of those sorts of things. So anyways, this was not really a plan that was leaked. It was a bunch of open source intelligence, not really open source, but intelligence ado with, you know, people have access to satellites that can see things and kind of connect dots. Okay, they're moving this here and this and this. And for all we know, it is all just a feint in order to make the Iranians think that they're going to do something when they're really going to do something completely different. Maybe they're going to do the mother of all cyber attacks. Maybe it's going to be an electromagnetic pulse. Who knows? But I have a feeling that this is all just psychological warfare at this point, and I wouldn't really put a lot of money on that having any real significance whatsoever. Russia is calling statements on readiness for nuclear talks deception, and I believe they state specifically that the reason for that is that what does without precondition mean? So the United States is saying, we're willing to talk to you about nuclear weapons without precondition. What does without precondition mean? This means that the Americans reserve the right to declare us as an enemy in their doctrinal documents. Lavrov said the statement means that Washington reserves the right to officially declare that its goal is to inflict a strategic defeat on Russia on the battlefield while still pretending to engage in these nuclear de-escalation talks in an attempt to try to get Russia to slow down in its nuclear expansionist ambitions in order to potentially give the United States a bit of a, you know, just a bit of assistance in catching up with Russia's emphasis on strategic preparedness for the last few years. The Russians have created all kinds of new nuclear weapons deployment systems, while the U.S. has kind of been resting on its laurels in that respect. Finland is going to be building a new NATO military base not too far from St. Petersburg, in fact, only 200 miles from the border. In fact, that might even be 200 miles from St. Petersburg. No, 200 kilometers from Russia. New NATO base in Mykhaly. Not sure if I'm pronouncing that right. But that, of course, is not going to sit well with Russian-U.S. NATO relations. What else do we have to talk about here? Poland is closing a Russian consulate. And the Polish foreign minister, Radoslaw Sikorski, said that they are not against banning the entire diplomatic mission inside Poland from Russia. So we could very well see the expulsion of the Russian ambassador from Poland soon. That one has been a long time coming. The EU wants to give Ukraine another $35 billion. They just voted in favor of the European Parliament of sending $35 billion loan package in financial aid to Ukraine. It will be covered by frozen Russian assets. So they're trying to work out some sort of scheme to get Russia's money without actually confiscating it. I'm presuming what they mean is that they're going to lend it out and the guarantor is going to be this Russian money, but because it's a loan, they're not really, you know, giving it out. So that means if Ukraine does have to capitulate and lose, Russia will be, in the very least, at a loss of this 35 billion of the hundreds of billions that they currently have being held in Western banks. The EU is wanting to send troops to Ukraine in response to the NATO, the deployment of North Korean troops inside the Kursk region. You also have the South Koreans saying that they're going to start sending weapons and possibly troops as well, because, of course, they want to get that training. They don't want the North Koreans to have all the fun and get a head start for when that war ensues. You have the Chinese saying that they've successfully developed 3-nanometer chips. Now, they haven't actually fully developed the 3-nanometer chip. That, would, of course, would put them ahead of TSMC, put them ahead of Taiwan, who is the most advanced and what many people are saying is 5 years ahead of any other competition. But they have successfully what they call taped out China's first nanometer chip for flagship mobile phones. Of course, it could take years before that actually materializes into something that they can use. But what that means is that there's going to be a great disadvantage if China is able to blockade Taiwan, prevent any sort of chips from being exported to the United States, advanced chips, and have their own domestic chip production in addition to the Taiwanese chip production, even though the Americans have claimed that they're going to destroy, not the Americans, but, you know, American elements have claimed that they're going to destroy the TSMC factory if the Chinese, in fact, take the island. And, of course, the Taiwanese are saying, I don't think so. We don't think you're going to do that because, of course, we don't want to see our country completely destroyed, just like Ukraine and the Gaza Strip. It appears as though my voice is progressively getting worse as this video goes on. I didn't even get a chance to talk about Cuba being paralyzed by some power outages. And I think a lot of that is due to this hurricane situation, but probably a lot of domestic and political issues contributing to that. What else do we got going on here? I think that's about all we need to talk about today, my friends. Stock up, stock up, stock up. Get your Jace medical kits. People are saying I should be taking ivermectin. You know, you can get ivermectin from Jace Medical, okay? You can get all kinds of medication from Jace Medical. I would encourage people, use the link in the description below if you want to support the channel. Go and stock up and, yeah, just keep on prepping because it's going to be a crazy 2 weeks. Anything can happen in the next couple weeks. You got Andrew Tate talking about buying $1 million worth of oil. So he's expecting that oil is going to go up. And oil has been trading within this 70 to 75 range because people really don't know what to expect. Look, oil is about to go absolutely berserk once this thing gets hot. So I'm not going to say go out and buy crude oil or buy stocks in oil. But, you know, if anything, oil is only going to be in greater and greater demand in the future regardless. So commodities at this point in time, I don't think are a bad decision. But, hey, I'm not a fiduciary, so don't believe anything I say with respect to that. Guys, South America is in one of the worst droughts seen in human history. So make sure you stock up on coffee and cocoa because you never know. We might wake up one day and that's the last cup of coffee you have. Thanks for watching, my friends. Take care. Canadian Brebber out.